Are you a delusional Lions fan? Do you hate yourself because of it? Do you feel the call to support a franchise with no hope and zero future? Yet year after year, you tune in and support. You might need some therapy. Call Uncle Timmy today at 231-499-9999.
Gentlemen, we're back. Welcome back to the program. It's been a while, but let's go over what we're going to be talking about today. One, we got some rankings to go through. We'll start all the way back at the beginning. We'll go over some matchups for week 13, or is it week 14? I think it's week 14. Yeah, it's week 14. And then we'll do some playoff predictions and then a secret little ranking at the end of the show as well. So let's go ahead. Let's jump into it. Let's start at the beginning of this year. ESPN, known for being wrong about just about everything, their draft day rankings, they had La Cara del Feto at 10th. They spinked that one. He ain't moving from 10th. The Jabari Tribe at 9th. Frank Lee at 8th. Hold My Cannoli at 7th. Kyle O'Gray at 6th. Manifesting Destiny at 5th. O'Grady Electric at 4th. Floppy Town Floppertons at 3rd, Wesley Hall Pizza at 2nd, and Gay, rather, at 1st. You might be wondering, how could they get the first overall team so fucking wrong? And then you remember, that team was fully auto-drafted by ESPN themselves. So let's go back, let's look at the draft, let's look up how we ended up there. I'll give you everybody's best and worst pick that they made in this past year's draft. Starting off with myself. I'm very critical of myself. Easily the best pick was Younghoe Koo in the 11th round. Undeniably the best kicker in the NFL. Overall, just the best player in the NFL. He doesn't miss kicks. He is 12th in kickers, which doesn't make any sense, but he is the best kicker in the NFL. That's easily the best pick. And I got him in the 11th round, an absolute steal. Some honorable mentions. I did get Sam Laporta, the third best tight end in the 12th. I also got David Montgomery in the 7th, DeAndre Swift in the 9th. I got Chris Olave in the 3rd. There's a lot of great picks. The worst pick, though, was Darren Waller in the 6th. He's fucking horrible. He was averaging 10 points a game. He had two good games on the year. He hasn't played since week 9. He's on IR. He's garbage. Burt, not a bad team by any means. His worst pick was Najee Harris in the 3rd. Najee Harris is the 29th ranked running back. Draft him in the 3rd round. He's just not good. Nobody should be picking Najee Harris in the 3rd round. We knew this coming in. Pittsburgh doesn't have an offensive line. They also wanted to use Kenny Pickett more. And they drafted Jalen, or whoever the fuck they drafted. I don't know his name. His best pick was Isaiah Pacheco. Is he even still on Bird's team? I guess I didn't look at that. Yeah, he is. Pacheco has put up back-to-back weeks of 25 and 21. He's going to be great for Burt if he makes it to the playoffs. A little bit, you know, up and down season, but overall, he's the 10th best running back, and he drafted him in the 7th round. Absolute steal. That was a great pick by Burt. Moving on to Travis. Travis's best pick was Michael Pittman in the 8th. He's the 11th best wide receiver. He's shown up in big games for Travis. He's put up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 straight games with double digits. He's been under double digits in one game this year. That's just solid production week to week. That's solid production. You got him in the 8th round. That's a great pick. On the opposite side, honestly, I don't even know. Trav's team is an enigma. His first pick was Saquon. Saquon's not a bad pick. He's had good games. Little injury prone. He's played since week 6. Wow. I don't know why. I thought he was out the entire year. Bijan. Up and down season, but he's starting to get a lot better. Calvin Ridley started off really hot, dropped off a little bit. But Deontay Johnson has stunk all season. All season, he has been horrible. Now, with Brennan's team, this is just top to bottom, unfortunate. It's tough to look at. Cooper Kupp did Did Brennan know that Cooper Kupp was missing the first 4 weeks? It wouldn't shock me because he didn't know we did two-week playoffs. I'm now calling Brennan the cursed team in the league. He is now known as the one-week cursed team. I don't know what he has to do, I believe, to get over the Lions curse. Jeff Daniels and Peyton Manning did something with a bathtub in Ford Field. Maybe he has to do that with Delt Sig back at Albion. But he's got to do something to lift this curse. Cooper Kupp came back after 4 weeks, had a couple good games. He has been dog shit since. Nowhere near a first-round pick. Garrett Wilson, unfortunate. Jahmyr Gibbs, a little unfortunate. He's had a good year, though. DJ Moore's been good. Jordan Addison has been good, not so much as of recent. Quentin Johnson most likely will be cut by the Chargers next year because he is just fucking horrible. His best pick was DJ Moore. His best pick was DJ Moore, easily. Who would have thought that DJ Moore would be good this year? Not me, especially with Justin Fields throwing to him. But he got him in the sixth. That's a good pick. His worst pick, Cooper Kupp. Come on, let's be real. Gindy's team, there's a lot to pick from. But he took a shot on Keenan Allen, who has been an absolute monster. And he stayed healthy. He's got the double up with Herbert and Allen. Keenan Allen in the fourth round. Great pick. James Conner, on the other hand, I don't know why. He hasn't been good since 2016. He hasn't been good since I've been in college. How does James Conner, who is running his PR? He should not be anywhere near the fifth round. I don't understand it. For somebody like Gindy, who knows ball, I was really surprised by this pick. It was a horrible pick, start to finish. James Conner, his worst pick easily. Manifesting destiny. Now we're in the West. He had some good picks. Kamara in the sixth, maybe a little bit early. But Kamara's been lights out since he got back. He hasn't had a game in single digits since he got back. So that was a great pick. Dameon Pierce, on the other hand, not a great pick. He's been horrible all season long. He's been injured. Even when he's not injured, he's really bad. But Nico Collins in the 14th round, he's the 12th best wide receiver. And Tank Dell is now out. It doesn't matter for Bob because he's not getting into the playoffs. There's a chance he might, but it's very unlikely. But Nico Collins was a great pick in the 14th round. He just put up 34.1 last week against Denver. A good defense. Kyle O'Gray, his best pick was Mahomes. His team is god-awful. It's also very unfortunate. His worst pick was Austin Eckler, who has had a horrible year. This is what happens when you hold out. You take a dip. It's a known fact that when you hold out, you are worse off as a running back. They want him to pay him. Why don't you put up a good stat line for once? Nick Chubb, unfortunate. Debo's missed time. He's back, but not great. Jonathan Taylor had a couple good weeks here and there. All in all, this is just an unfortunate team. He did draft Goff in the 15th, though, but he dropped him. Cannoli, he took McCaffrey second overall. That's his best pick. He's the number one running back. He's the best player in football. That was just a smart pick by Bono. Make smart picks. Make smart picks. Worst pick, Christian Watson. Why did you think that Jordan Love would be able to get this guy the ball? He's put up back-to-back 20-point weeks. Great. Great. That's got to come to an end at some point. Christian Watson's not a good football player. Gay rather, James Cook in the sixth. He's also had a super unfortunate year. I'm not blaming it on the curse anymore. But Mark Andrews went out. Joe Burrow went out. Cam Akers, that was a horrible pick by the bot. Judy sucks. Sky Moore sucks. Kirk Cousins went down. Daniel Jones went down. Rashad Penny never had a chance in Philadelphia. He traded away A.J. Brown. We all know how that went for the guy, Kenneth Walker, who also got injured. Kevin, I feel like, did he auto-draft? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Why does it say, oh, that's Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson. His best pick was Mike Evans in the eighth, though. I don't know if that was auto-draft or not. Mike Evans, 10th consecutive year with 1,000 yards receiving. He's been in the league 10 years. He's gotten 1,000 yards every year. How Mike Evans went in the eighth round is beyond me. He's been a phenomenal wide receiver all fucking year. His worst pick, Aaron Jones. Was this one auto draft? I can't remember. I don't know. Stop asking me. Aaron Jones sucks. Green Bay sucks in general. They're terrible. Terrible team. That's everybody's best and worst draft pick. Week 13, week 14 matchups. Well, actually, you know what? Before we jump into that, let's take a look at the standings currently. 10th, LaCarla. This is actually, you know what? Sorry, before I get into the standings, let me also just say, this is probably the most even this league has been in the entire year, the entirety of the league. We're doing this now. This is what, our one, four, five, six. This is our sixth year. The East has 33 wins. The West has 32 wins altogether. Easily the most competitive year that we've had in this league. All right, so let's look at the current standings now. Now that we've kind of gone back to draft day, let's fast forward it to right now. Let's look at who's fraudulent. If we're looking at points for, Guindy is by far the best team in the league. We all know how that goes, though. I'm expecting a first-round loss from Guindy in the playoffs. He's got about a 300-point difference in the positive with points against. He's right in the middle of the pack for points against, but because his team has been so dominant, he is by far the best team in the league. I am second in points for and second in points against. It makes perfect sense. My team, 7-6. I've had good weeks, and I've gotten a lot of people's best week. A lot of people's best week. It's kind of fucking annoying at this point. Bert's team, how he is 6-7, is beyond me. He is third in points for and second least in points against. How does that make any sense? He must have lost close games and then just walloped teams. Really, I don't understand it. Now, Bono's team, he might be a little fraudulent. 6th in points for, 3rd in points against. About 100-point difference, but he's 10-2, 10-3. Manifest Destiny, unfortunate. He's 3rd in points against, the most points against, 3rd most points against. He's 4th in points for. You know, that's just the fantasy gods. It's a 22-point difference. A lot of games could have been different. Trav, 5th and 5th. He's right in the middle of the pack. His record makes sense. Bono, we talked about it. His record makes no sense. He's been extremely fortunate, possibly fraudulent. Kevin, his kind of makes sense. He's middle of the pack for both. JD, I don't know how he's 6-7. He's 3rd in points for, middle of the pack for points against. He's actually on the lower end. He's 6th or 4th least amount in points against. Brennan and Kyle. Brennan, I mean, unfortunate. I mean, he's 9th in scoring, but he's 1st in points against. He's got about a negative 400-point difference. It's the curse. Kyle is actually 10th in points for and 10th in points against. He's had the least amount of points scored on him, but the least amount of points scored in the entire league. So, I mean, 5-8, I mean, congratulations. That's not terrible. I mean, that might be his highest he's ever gotten in terms of wins, but it could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot better this year. All right, looking at the upcoming games, there's 4 that matters this week. Really, the only one that doesn't matter is Brennan versus Bob, so I'm not going to talk about that one. Who cares? I'll start out with the least interesting one, JD versus Guindy. JD, congratulations on Ezekiel Elliott. Who would have thought that that guy would actually have a game? That's easily his highest all season. I don't even think he's sniffed near 20 points, but he got 27 last night. Very impressive. Doesn't matter. You're going to lose to Guindy. You're out of the playoffs. The second most interesting one, I would probably put me and Kevin. Or second least interesting one, I guess I should say. The reason I'm going to put me and Kevin at the second least interesting is because I have ultimately, basically, have locked up the third seed. I'll go more into that in a little bit. But Kevin, it's obviously a big game for Kevin. I had down as one of his topper or more favorable matchups as the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. They only got him 4 points. It didn't look good. We'll see what they end up doing for the rest of the week. But O'Grady Electric not off to a good start against the Floppertons. We'll have to wait and see. But Kevin fighting for his life and a playoff spot. He'll need a lot to happen, but it is possible. Trav and Gay Rather. Now the projections are showing Trav with a 20-point advantage. He'll most likely win this game. He's got some favorable matchups with Brandon Cooks. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. Davante Adams going against Minnesota. Saquon going against Green Bay. And the Minnesota defense going against the Las Vegas offense. Might work not in his favor if Davante gets it going. But all in all, some favorable matchups there. Gay rather. They got Javonte Williams going against the Los Angeles Chargers. They got Jalen Waddle going against Tennessee, but, you know, Tyreek's on the field too. And Jake Ferguson, I think this might be the only way that Kyle wins. If he can get a big game out of Jake Ferguson, there might be a chance because he's going against Philly's defense. And as we all know, Philly struggles against tight ends. Their linebackers are not that good. The most interesting one, though, is easily Burt versus Bono. Is Bono's team fraudulent? Who knows? Burt decided to go with Najee Harris, who got him a solid 7.8. That was obviously sarcasm. I don't know how this is going to end up for Burt, but he needs a win here. He desperately needs a win here. Now, Bono doesn't need a win here, but does he want to keep Burt out of the playoffs? We'll have to wait and see. Burt has got Brandon Cooks going against Philly's defense. Philly's been Swiss cheese in the secondary this season. That's a great matchup. He's got Diggs going against, I believe, Kansas City. That's going to be a shootout, hopefully. Should be a good game. But he also has the Packers defense, who has been on fire recently, going against the Giants offense in Tommy Cutlets at quarterback. So that could be really big for Bird. Both these teams actually have a great matchup with defenses currently. Bono's got McCaffrey going against Seattle. That should be, you know, at least 20 points there. Mixon going against Indianapolis. That should be a good game for Mixon. And Kittle going against Seattle as well. I mean, it's San Francisco's offense. They've been on fire recently. Playoff implications now. Let's try to walk through this. I have ultimately locked in the third seed, being at 7-6. The positive for me, if I lose, God forbid, is that I have the point total above everybody else. So even if I lose and somebody, you know, two other teams are at 7-7, most likely I'm going in. The closest one to me is Burt, and Burt would have to outscore me by about 43 points. And even if he does that, I'm still in. I'll just get the fourth seed because Bob ain't going to catch me. And Bob would need a lot to happen to make the playoffs. The next one after that is Trav. So for Burt, Burt wins and he's in. He's got the third most points. Trav will most likely not catch him. There's about 110-point difference there. But he's got the toughest matchup. He's got to go through Bono. So Burt wins. He's in. Unless if Burt loses, then he's got some stuff. Well, not really. Burt loses. More than likely, he's in too. Because he's got the highest point total over Trav, Kevin, and JD. Trav, he needs a Burt loss. And he needs to maintain about a 65-point advantage over Kevin if Kevin was to win. If Trav loses, he's most likely out. Everybody that is 6-7 most likely just needs to win this week and some other shit to happen. But Trav would need Burt to lose and hold the 65-point lead over Kevin. If Kevin wins, if Kevin loses, there's no worries there. He just needs Burt to lose. Kevin needs to win. He needs a Burt loss, a Trav loss. Or if Trav does win and Kevin wins, Kevin would need to outscore Travis by about 65. And then JD, really, and Bob, really, you just need all those guys to lose. Bob, if by some miracle, Kevin loses, Burt loses, Trav loses, JD loses, and he outscores Burt by about 100 points, Bob can get into the playoffs. If there's a will, there's a way. My playoff predictions, first seed obviously goes to Wesley Hall Pizza. And the second seed obviously goes to Cannoli. There's no debating that. Third seed, I'm going to have me because I've ultimately locked that up. But the fourth seed, I think Trav is going to get in here. I think Trav might jump Burt. I think Burt is going to lose to Bono. And then Trav will beat Kyle and go to the playoffs. Now, Trav would then have Gindy, which I don't see him beating Gindy. So the playoff matchup to watch would then be me versus Bono. All right, finally, before I send you guys off into the weekend, it's time for Trav's Power Rankings, a new segment of the show where I let Trav go ahead and power rank. This week, you know, classic one. Let's go through his power rankings of the top 10 team names in the league. Starting out at number 10, he has Gay, rather. He says, horrible, not funny, has nothing to do with football, no effort. Takes 20 seconds. Harsh critic? Possibly. But is he wrong? That's the real question. At number 9, he has La Cara del Feto, which is Spanish for fetus face. His team name last year was fetus face, and he just made it Spanish. Poor effort here. Nobody is Spanish. Move to Mexico. Maybe that's the solve for the curse. Brennan, you got to move to Mexico. At number eight, he has O'Grady Electric. Not funny, not relevant to football. Autodraft was so much better than this. Nobody probably even understands this. Horrific and low effort. Both O'Grady boys ranking in the bottom three. Tough sight. At number seven, he has Kyle O'Gray. Not funny at all. Makes no sense. Nobody has ever called him this. Again, it's not funny whatsoever. Would take 20 seconds to change. I got to agree with him on that one. To this day, although at this point, I feel like it's almost a staple of our league, having somebody as Kyle O'Gray. For number six, he has Manifest Destiny. Not as bad as I love Manifesting Destiny, but Meath will never be ranked higher than me in any rankings I do. We'll have to hold him to that. At number five, he has Frank Lee. Not as great as nobody probably understands. It's a play on the word frankly and is a hypothetical person Kyle and I created. But it won a championship, so it won't be changed for now. Understandable. We'll have to wait and see if he changes it at the end of the season or possibly next season. This one is a full-ass paragraph. Number four, Wesley Hall Pizza. This team name is how I met Gindy. A buddy, Mike, gets a pizza freshman year in the dorms. Mike leaves for a second. Eric starts eating his pizza. I call him on it. Eric tells me Mike said he could have a slice. Exit Eric. Enter Mike. Mike is like, who ate my fucking pizza? I tell him Eric. Mike confronts Eric. Eric tells Mike that I said he could have a slice. Unreal rat move by Gindy. Couldn't believe the grin on his face. A classic. I think we've all heard that story before, but nevertheless, it's a classic. And number three is Floppy Town, etc. Just to be clear, it's Floppy Town Floppertons. Accurate for who he is, not great, but it's a top half for effort and accuracy. Congrats on making the playoffs after a tough year, honestly. A little sentimental at the end. Yeah, no, I think I knocked it out of the park. I mean, it is true to who I am. It reflects my team. They're all a bunch of floppy Floppertons. So I'm happy with that one. Motor City Hogs, unfortunately, had to RIP because the motorcycle is now up for sale. So the Jabari Tribe at number two, another staple in the league. Bert with a tip of the cap to his dead hero, RIP Bozo, that he's obsessed with, staying true to himself with this one. I believe Bert did change his name. I can't remember what it was beforehand. Yeah, it's like, is that number two? I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that one. At number one, Hold My Cannoli. This one truly is a staple in the league. A past champion. Funny joke about his Italian ethnicity. This takes the crown in a pretty pathetic competition. Our league team names are horrific. That I don't disagree with. Hold My Cannoli is truly a classic at this point. It's been around since, I think he is the only person to not change his team name. So congrats to Bono, number one. All right, gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you back here maybe next week, maybe not. I don't know. It depends on if I want to fucking do this. Most likely not, but who knows? If it gets juicy, I'll do it. Who knows? Bye.
Lots of good food to be had around the holidays, which means for us men, lots of shitting. And with shitting comes poopy buttholes. What better way to clean that shit up than using the toilet paper softer than Kyle O'Grady's fantasy prowess? Today's episode is sponsored by Charmin Toilet Paper. With Charmin Ultra, less is more.